Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Today is a special Sunday because it's the Sunday that we kick off our week of prayer and fasting, as was mentioned earlier, and we're going to be going for 5 nights of gathering together for prayer, and then wrapping up the week on Sunday night with worship and a miracle service, and so look forward. Now, I realize that you may be here, and you're like, fasting? Say what? It's like he used the F word in church? And you, maybe that was new to you. I remember when it was new to me, and I was like, is that like in the Bible, or did you make that up, or you know? But it is, and I just want to say real briefly that there's different kinds of fast. Some people do all water, some do just juice. My favorite is Daniel fast. No meats, no sweets, no wine. That's basically what it is, and so it's like. You know, but it's a fast. You know, there's reality to it. Okay, it's not like a Skittles fast. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to touch Skittles for a whole week. That is not a fast. Okay, that is. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a fast if a teenager did it. But it is a change of routine, and we're going to talk a little bit from God's Word about how God works with that in our lives and the impact that it is meant to have and does have as a spiritual discipline. And so again, this might be like brand new and you're like, well, I'm going to try a day or I'm going to try 3 days, you know, whatever it is. But be a part, because it's not just about the fast, it is about the prayer. Yeah. And it's not just about the prayer, it is about prayer with faith. Right. Okay? So that, just understand that. It's not like, wow, I just found out that God moves when we don't eat. No, that's really not what it is at all, okay? That is not what it is. It is about prayer, and it is about faith. The fasting is about dealing with flesh. Yeah. I could tell by your enthusiasm that it is dealing with your flesh as I speak. Yeah. And so there's many types of fasts in Scripture. For instance, Jesus did 40-day fast, and then Moses, he did 40. Joshua did 40. Daniel did 21. Paul did 14. Peter did 3. Jewish disciples, out of the Jewish faith, which is the roots of Christianity, would often do like 1 day fast as part of just their spiritual discipline. I will do that throughout the year. I don't like get through January and go, got that over with. Why? Because if it's a spiritual discipline, then disciplines have to be practiced at different times. And so I will do like a 1 day or whatever here and there throughout the year, because I know the impact it has on me. Now, when Jesus was talking about fasting and talking about spiritual disciplines in general, in Matthew chapter 6, he begins to talk to the disciples about it. And he says this: beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. In other words, don't do these things with a motive that's about, hey, see me. So don't like this week Instagram your plate with nothing on it, you know, things like that, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, here's a picture of a restaurant I will not be going to. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Well, there's two sides to that coin. He's talking about, don't make it about people and people seeing what you do and like, hey man, aren't I really a great Christian kind of thing. But the other side, if you caught it, was there's a reward. Right. When we exercise spiritual disciplines, there's a reward, what God will do. And so Jesus begins in Matthew 6 to talk about three different spiritual habits that are meant to be a part of our lives, and defines the kind of motivation that should be about them, that it is about our walk with the Lord and not about what others might think. And the first one, he talks about Matthew 6. Each one of these, though, when he says them, he says these two words, when you. Can you just repeat that? When you. When you. When you. How many of you know something? If I say something to you and I preface it with when you, that there's an expectation that you will. Okay? So he gives all these when yous, and in the when you is the expectation that you will. He starts off by saying this, when you give. Giving financially is a normal part of the Christian life. Thank you to those three people. But seriously, it is. It is a normal part of our spiritual discipline. Giving financially is a normal part of the Christian lives. Tithes and offerings are a normal part of what's described in Scripture as to how we steward ourselves financially. Listen, when I was not walking with Jesus, I stewarded myself centered around God, except I was God, okay? And so everything was about me. But when God came into my life, my stewardship changed. And so giving is a spiritual discipline. And when the Scriptures talk about money, the issue is trust and attitude of heart. And so generosity says something about our value on eternity. Generosity says something about our value towards other people, our love for God and our love for other people, our trust towards God. It says something about our faith for God to bless us and take care of our lives, and the fact that we see God as our source, not simply ourselves. Generosity says, I'm not living a life that's materialistic or greedy. Why? Because I've established a biblical generosity in my life. And so it's a spiritual discipline that affects our heart, affects our motives, that brings our life into check when we honor God with our giving. Well, then the next thing Jesus says, so he says, when you give. The next thing he says is, when you pray. I don't think any Christian would argue against prayer being a discipline that should be part of their lives. I think every believer, though, would argue that they wish they were better at it or more consistent about it and things like that. And, I just think sometimes in my mind, and I'm not trying to go totally in this vein today, but I do want to say this. I think we need to get simpler about how we think about what prayer is. Because I think sometimes we've just created something in our head that makes prayer like, okay, like going to the gym, right? It's like going to the gym. I got to pack. I got to get change of clothes, make sure I got stuff to go have a shower afterwards. Then I go, I do my exercise. Now I got to have a shower. Now I got to get dry. Now I got to get back into clean clothes. It's like, oh my gosh, we've made this such a thing that I've decided I will not go to the gym anymore. And I think that's what people do with prayer. And instead, they need to be driving in their car, have a thought go through their mind, maybe a person, maybe a circumstance, maybe a situation, maybe some family member, and quickly have a conversation with God about that. So there, I just increased your prayer life by 90% right there. But then Jesus moves on from there, and he says this, when you fast. Not if, but when. And Jesus teaches us that when we fast, in other words, being an expected part of a spiritual discipline, that we're to carry out our day as normal. He says, don't put on a gloomy face. You know, don't walk into the office with yesterday's dirty clothes, unshaven, unless that's your like look or something. You're a millennial and it's okay, or you're the start of a beard. Or, anyway, why am I getting off on that? But don't go in smelling bad, looking. Everybody's going for lunch. You're like, what's wrong with you? Oh, well, following Jesus this week. No. He says, don't do that. Okay. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. Scripture says this. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Don't you wish the scripture stopped right there? Okay, moving right along. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. We understand Jesus is speaking about himself, taken away from them. Then they will fast. So Jesus was telling them, listen, that's not happening right now. I'm here for like 3 years and then I'm going to heaven, and then the church is going to emerge and the church will engage in these things when I am gone. Before moving here and even deciding to move to Edmonton, Leslie and I engaged on a 3-week Daniel fast in prayer and research, and we really had our like list that we were working through. We knew God was speaking to our hearts that to relocate and start a church. And we had like places to go that were on that list. And during that 3-week period of seeking God, it just narrowed down. And you can thank the Lord that we prayed. Otherwise, we could have ended up in Calgary or something. I mean, horrible, horrible, cheering for the Flames. Awful, awful. So at any rate, but the point isn't about hockey. The point is that it was a decision time that was critical. And so it wasn't like take it casual. It was like you need to really super focus on this, because the decision you're about to make is going to affect decades of your life. When we were, in 99th Street as a church, that was our location. Fasting and prayer like has been a part of our lives like ever since the birth of the church, so to speak, but and prior to that for us. But when we were at 99th Street, we were in a decision-making moment that was critical, because it was like, okay, we're outgrowing this facility clearly, but there are options. There are things that we could do. We could move. We could multi-site. We could look at services at like different off times. We could do all these different things. And in that moment, I particularly took 3 weeks out to pray and fast concerning clarity, because it just felt like. Just felt like mud. It was just like, okay, I don't really know. I don't have anything where it's like, that's it. You know, it's like, because first of all, this wasn't for sale. So it wasn't like, well, this is obvious. Look at the for sale sign. Duh, God's given you a sign. There was no sign, okay? And so in that time of seeking the Lord, I wrote this down in my journal. I believe that our next step will be a larger property and sanctuary that would be twice the capacity, that we as a church have the capacity to build large crowds, to reach many for Jesus. And this place has been good, but it's too small. There's more to come. Now, that was written down from a place of just praying and seeking God. That wasn't written down because I knew something. Wasn't written down because a realtor said something to me about a place that could work. None of that. That was just me and Jesus wrote this down. Today we're living in more to come. Today we're living in that experience. But that the direction to get here came out of seeking God, came out of relationship with Jesus. And in fact, just this week I had a conversation with somebody talking about more to come and bigger things, telling me that every time they come to the car show, they don't come in the auditorium to watch the service. They want to watch it on the big screen outside. They're like, yeah, that's where I watch. That's how I get into the service. And it's just part of the more to come, part of the bigger things that God has us doing. But prayer and fasting gave not only a sense of direction, but a conviction and a faith to get there. How many know something? It's one thing for God to say, this is the direction you should go. It is another thing for you to believe that you can get there. Yeah. And that came out of seeking God as well. The whole package, not just what you should do, but a faith that says, I can do what God says I can do. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21 says, then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us, for our little ones, and for all our possessions. To seek from him the right way. I just want to say that you might be here today needing to know the right way. Maybe it's a business decision that's before you. Maybe it's a career decision or a business decision. Maybe you're an entrepreneur and you've got something going on and you're like, I need to know the right way. I've got to get some clear direction. How many know, especially when you live through economic times that don't look like this, that are like this, and have had too much of this lately, but the point of the matter is you need to know the right way. Maybe it's about your family. Maybe it's about things going on with your kids or things going on in other aspects of your family life. And it's like, I need to know what I need to do for this situation in my family. Maybe there's other major decisions that, like where I was at, was like, you're about to make a decision that's going to impact decades of your life. Maybe you're in one of those places where you need to seek God, because whatever you choose is not just going to affect your tomorrow, it's going to affect your whole life, your whole life. Maybe there's opportunities that are before you, or maybe there's distractions that are before you, and you need to seek God to discern, is this an opportunity or is this a distraction? Because you got to hear me on this. So many people jump on things because they just feel like, well, man, there's this opportunity and it's great and I'm going to be able to do this and that. And they don't realize it's taking your time, your energy, your money, and you'd actually be better to do something else. And you followed your distraction instead of really finding God's best opportunity for your life. And so we've got to discern those things. So how does fasting impact my life? In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to give you 3 points. Here we go. I told you I could see a miracle coming. Number one, fasting addresses the condition of your heart. Fasting addresses the condition of your heart. Consecration is about affirming that Christ has first place in our heart. And if there's anything that has been competing for that, then you're going to address it. One of the medical facts about fasting is that it has a positive impact on your health. That what actually happens during a fast is that your body will cleanse itself of toxins that you don't even know are there. But as you drink, especially lots of bottled water, you'll be releasing toxins and cleansing your body. Well, what's happening in the natural is happening in the spiritual. God will do a work on your heart, cleansing you from toxins that got into your attitude and got into your spirit throughout the year. You'll become aware of things that you weren't aware of. You'll suddenly realize, oh my goodness, I guess I do have pride in my life. Oh my goodness, I guess I do have a competing agenda in my life. You'll notice things, unbelief, whatever it might be. And all sorts of things become evident to you: bitterness, discouragement, half-heartedness, apathy, selfishness, you know, just to name a few of the kind of toxins that can get into our heart, get into our attitude. And like I said, they can come in and you're not even necessarily aware of it. But these things are not new. They've just been tolerated. They've been embraced. They've maybe been ignored, or could be a blind spot in our lives. But as we go through life, we have wrong things that enter into our heart and mind as well. Attitudes, thoughts, beliefs or unbelief, perceptions, misunderstandings, lusts, attitudes of many different sorts that can enter into our life. And if they're unfiltered or undetected, they can be having an impact on you and how you're leading your life because you're just unaware of them. And you can be making decisions all the time about things going on in your life and actually shooting for, if you will, a lesser level than God's best for yourself because you carry a belief in your heart that says, well, I don't think God would really do that for me. I don't think God would bless me that way. I don't think people would respect me if I stepped up. And you can be holding yourself back because of attitudes of heart, because of unbelief, because of poor self-image, because of things that you've allowed in there. And God wants to get those things out of the road because they're in the way of Him doing His best in your world. Now, these things are like bad breath. They're like bad breath. You know, if you have bad breath, typically everybody knows it except you. It's just the way it is. People with bad breath don't know it. Have you ever noticed that people with bad breath too want to get closer to you when they're talking about what they're talking about, and they want to just like, I need to tell you about this. You need to know this. This is really, really important. And it's like, how much garlic can one person eat? Oh my gosh, you're ready to throw up. But anyway, that's a little side thing. I've never told someone that their breath was bad and had them respond with, I knew that. It's never happened. Well, likewise, we can have things that got into our heart that stink. And attitudes, thoughts, motives, all those different things. But becoming aware of them empowers us to get free from them. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21 says, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Hey, why be a clay pot Christian, okay, if you can go to God and allow the Holy Spirit to show you things that could be in your heart, things that have gotten into your life, things that you've went through, challenges that you've went through, and you maybe aren't aware, and this is where fasting will help you, but you've went through some difficult things in relationships that have put attitudes inside of your heart, misbeliefs, wrong beliefs about yourself, accusations, all mistrust, all kinds of stuff that you can pick up. And God says, I want you to be aware, because if you'll cleanse yourself from these things, you'll be useful to the master in every good work. God can do so much more through us if we'll allow him to show us attitudes, things that we picked up inside of our heart. Number two, fasting clarifies the will of God in your life. I think that, one of the biggest challenges to believers is to separate what is simply the soul and what is really the Holy Spirit in our lives. Too often people will do things out of their soul and then claim that they're being led by the Spirit of God. Well, this is what Holy Spirit, put this in my heart. This is what I feel is the Lord. Which, by the way, just throw this out to you. If you feel like something is God, don't use the God card when you share it with your friends. Because as soon as you do, you basically said, I don't want your input. Instead, just say, this is what I'm feeling the Lord's putting on my heart. This might be God's will for my life. And have a more open-handed, tentative approach so that you can invite people to bring their counsel. Because often we see in part because we know in part, and we need somebody else to bring their part to help us see the fullness of everything. But as soon as I say, God told me, then here's what I'm saying. If you contradict me, you're out of the will of God, because God already told me. Don't play the God card. Anyway, that's the side. It has nothing to do with the message, but it's a good thought. But sometimes people are making decisions, claiming it's the Holy Spirit. They're just being led by their emotions. They just got an idea. They just got a desire. There's nothing about it that was really of the Spirit of God. And when we're led by our soul, we get angry, and then we just act out of our anger. Or we get greedy. Nobody calls themselves greedy, of course. But when we go hugely in debt because we want everything we see, we have a problem. We get offended, and then we make decisions out of being upset by something that has happened, and then try our best to validate why it's okay to act out of our offense. All of these are things that we do out of our soul. Nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And the problem is, if we don't ever discern that, then we're going to make some huge decisions that could be wrong, or we're just going to stall ourselves in terms of our own personal maturity and ability to get along with God and people. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it was over food. Somebody said Eve ate them out of a house and home. But anyway, what did they do? They reasoned from their soul and ignored the word of God. Here's what they did. They looked at the food and they said, it was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. Those are all soulish reasons. And all of those reasons come from the soul. But God had already said, this will mess you up. This is not what it appears to be. You need to avoid this. You got a whole bunch of other trees, by the way, and a whole bunch of other food that's been provided. And people do that with their lives, don't they? There's so many avenues that you could go in life, and then you choose this? People do it all the time. They go Adam and Eve on their choices out of their soul. And yet God had already spoken to them. You know, you can have times in life when things look like they make sense to you, but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can be telling you otherwise. And what you've got to have the capacity to do is not go with your soul. Be able to go, man, this looks senseless, but I know this is what God's Word says. This is attractive. This appeals to me. But I know the Holy Spirit is putting a caution in my heart. I'm telling you, you got to go with the Spirit of God. It's interesting that Jesus gets tempted by the devil when he was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness and to fast and all of that. And Jesus overcame the temptations of the soul, the appetite of hunger, pride, self-promotion. All of these were the things that he was being tested with. And instead, he just entrusted himself to God and stayed the course. Jesus stayed on track and overcame the temptations to be led by his soul in the moment of fasting. Since fasting deals with our selfish nature, having brought that nature into submission, we're just now more aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit-led life, the Bible talks about those, you know, who are you know, sons and daughters of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Listen, the Spirit-led life is not just like a Holy Ghost GPS, okay? It's like, I'm Spirit-led. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? That's sometimes what people think it means to have a Spirit-led life. It's like, I'm just looking for the Holy Spirit to lead me. I get up in the morning, I open up the drawer. What color socks should I wear? I need you to lead me, Holy Spirit. And then he gives you two colors, so you put one on one foot and one on the other. You look like an idiot all day long. But here's the deal. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. That's not just what your mama taught you. That's what the Holy Spirit empowers you to have in life. So to be Spirit-led looks more like this. I could act out in anger, but I'm choosing to forgive. I could act out in lust, but I'm choosing purity. I could act out in greed, but I'm choosing generosity. I could act out in pride and let them know I have a right to feel the way, but I choose humility. That is a Spirit-led life. And fasting deals with the main obstacle to the Spirit-led life, which is our flesh, I heard it again yesterday. I was listening to a podcast driving around. I heard it again yesterday. I'm like, I preached that. Thank you for saying that, reminding me of that. And the fellow said on the podcast, he said, the hardest thing to lead in life is yourself. It is not your organization. It is not other people. It is not the team that you might have given responsibility for. It is you. Galatians 5:17 says this, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. That's the conflict we live in. Well, you know, here's the question I have for you, and that is this. Can Christians who are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit live a soul-led life instead of a Spirit-led life? The answer is absolutely they can. Absolutely. That's why the New Testament is filled with teaching that talk about things like moral purity, our attitudes, greed, integrity, character, all throughout the Old Testament. Living a God-honoring life, being led by the Holy Spirit, living a God-honoring life is not the default, but the daily choice, okay? It is the daily choice. That's why Philippians 3:18 says, many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who, listen, set their minds on earthly things. So even though we are meant to have this relationship and this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we can, if we don't discipline and make right choices, live a very soulish, selfish, flesh-driven life that just follows the appetites, whatever I want, whatever I feel, whatever I think, and not realizing that just because you feel it, just because you think it, just because you want it, doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
And that God gives you the capacity to control yourself. Think about that word, self-control. Here's what that says to you. Yourself needs to be controlled. Just because yourself wants something doesn't mean it's God's will for you. Yourself needs to be controlled. That's why the Holy Spirit empowers you with self-control. Mm. Number three, in 19 seconds, here we go. Fasting releases the power of God to intervene in the affairs of life. Releases the power of God to intervene in the affairs of life. We live in a power struggle between the will of God and the devil. It's just the way it is. I mean, the scriptures talk about people being, having to deal with a power struggle in coming to Christ even and getting saved. And you know, salvation, when I think about it, like you can have like the best argument and the best theology and you can explain it and be super clear and all the rest of it. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a power struggle. There's a power struggle that's going on with the decision to follow Christ. And we are in that. That's why in the book of Acts, it tells us when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power to be a witness. Why? Because you need the power of God. Jesus was dealing with somebody's demon-possessed son, and his disciples were invited to minister to him, and the Spirit would cause him to have convulsions and throw him into the fire and all these sorts of things, and they tried to minister, and nothing worked, and Jesus comes along and sets this kid free, and then in Mark 9:29, he says this, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. In other words, Jesus was saying, listen, what you need to understand here is you're in a power struggle and you need the power of God to deal with the demonic stuff that was keeping this kid bound. It's a power struggle. You know, we can speculate all we want as to why or where the problem was, but one thing was for certain, and that was this, that fasting empowered a victory where they were not getting a victory, because Jesus said so. Fasting will empower you to receive a victory where it's like, this is just a power struggle. I just need the will of God to come in here and deal with this situation and change this situation. Maybe you need a victory in your family life. Maybe you need a victory in something that's going on in the business world. Maybe you need a victory in whatever you're doing in church ministry as well. Jesus, after his fast, the Bible says, returned to Galilee. Listen, in the power of the Spirit. In other words, the Bible was accentuating, listen, Jesus had a time of prayer and fasting, and it accentuated the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to know what's, just to give you kind of a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. When people walk into our church, and then I hear about months later when they're getting baptized, that the first day they walked into the church, they cried throughout almost all of the service. Say, how does that happen? It doesn't happen by good teaching and good music and lights. It happens by the power of the Holy Spirit that opens something up in their life, something nobody else could do, but only God could do. Well, I got more like talking Bible verses and stuff, but I don't have more time. So let's stand. Let's stand. I think you got it. Somebody say, I got it. Thank God. That's good. I look forward to praying and fasting with you this week. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this discipline that, Lord, as we engage in this and as we are intentional to set aside our evenings to say, we want to seek your face. We just want to get in your presence. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. We want you, Father, to empower our vision. We want you to open up our understanding, God, to what it is that you want to do even in our lives this year. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to do a mighty work in each and every one of us. With our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer because you know what? I believe that there are people here today. We talked a lot about Jesus being first place in your life, not just a place in your life. And I just want to take a moment to make that right. Between you and God, Maybe you're one of those people that would say, yeah, that's the way it's been for me for a while. You know, God's had our place. Maybe that place has been, once in a while I go to church, that's God's place. Or, you know, once in a while I watch something spiritual on TV or whatever it may be. But my challenge to you and the opportunity that you have right now is take God from being our place in your life to the place he is meant to be, which is first place in your life. And I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in that. How many here would say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I'm ready to let Jesus have first place in your life. Can you just give me a wave? Just give me a wave. That's you. I'm ready to have Jesus first place in my life. That's awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying. Lord Jesus, on this first Sunday, I'm making the decision that you get first place in my life. I confess you as my Savior and my Lord, and I'm following you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.